Welcome.
Care for clothes.
Welcome from Nadia. Welcome to Oroville Radio.
Care for cars and races.
Welcome to this platform for women and for all of those who are interested in women's life.
Liz Taylor is not a star, and even Lana Turner's smile.
Welcome to listen to this episode on wisdom, about something related to wisdom this time, something in particular. I'm speaking about wisdom goddesses. Yes, the 10 great wisdom goddesses. You may know, you may have heard of them. There's many cults here in India, especially in the places that honor the feminine energy and worship the Shakti, where there's particular attention to these 10 great wisdom goddesses, as known as Dasha Mahavidyas. Dasha meaning 10, and Mahavidyas, great wisdom. So we're honoring these 10 wisdom goddesses. So there's many interpretation, many cults, and many interestings around these 10 wisdom goddesses. What's interesting for us, for Lunaria, is the connection between the 10 great wisdom goddesses and the woman's life, the woman's cycle, the woman's siddhis. So the female siddhis. I found a brilliant passage of a book, a brilliant chapter of an interesting book that really explain this very nicely. I'm going to read this. I'm speaking about a book called Yoni Shakti, A Woman's Guide to Power and Freedom Through Yoga and Tantra, written by Uma Dinsmartuli, PhD, with beautiful illustrations of her husband, Nirlipta Tuli. They are the founders of a lot of yoga movements in Europe and around the world, in India too. In particular, they're interested in Yoga Nidra and Yoni Shakti, so the power of the feminine energy. And the chapter I'm speaking about right now, you can find it on page 218 from the edition of the book I have, which is, which edition is this? It's the 2018 edition. I guess there has been more editions lately, but this is what I have. So there's many chapters that speak about this, but this one gives an overview of what we're speaking about. There's an intro saying that the goddesses are the Mahavidyas, or great forms of knowledge, because they signify wisdom that arises through the cosmic energies of life, not the knowledge found in books. This is a quotation of Frawley. You may know of Dr. Frawley, an expert of Ayurveda, Tantra, and Yoga. And there she goes. Uma talks about the 10 great wisdom goddesses here after this quote. And she says, in Shakta Tantra, there is a powerful set of goddesses called the Dasha Mahavidyas. The 10 great wisdom goddesses. By integrating their presence into this chapter, I symbolically call upon these 10 goddesses to protect our well-being and to support the spiritual re-empowerment of women that we invite as we bring conscious awareness to our encounter with the female siddhis. The Dasha Mahavidya are clear guides to illuminate the unfolding cycles of Shakti in action in our lives, because they represent, in feminine form, different aspects of consciousness, wisdom, and power. Their names, in order in which they most usually appear, are Kali, the first, the Black Goddess. Second, we have Tara, the goddess who guides us through troubles. Then we have Shodashi, the 16-year-old, meaning. She's also known as Tripura Sundari, the beauty of the three worlds. Then we have Bhuvaneshwari, she whose body is the world. Bhairavi, the fierce one. Chinnamasta, the self-decapitated goddess, consciousness beyond the mind. Dhumavati, the widow. Baglamukhi, the paralyzer. Matangi, the outcast poet, the utterance of the divine world word. Kamlatmika, the lotus goddess of delight. So here we have this 10. The Mahavidyas are first described in the Puranas, the spiritual folk tales of India, which were composed as written texts between the 4th and the 8th centuries before Christ. Through it is very likely that the stories and the deities within them, including these goddesses, were present in oral tradition for a long time before they were written down. I know, I missed a passage here, sorry. Anyway, yeah, it says that, these stories come from far beyond the written tradition. So we can't tell when was the beginning. The origins of the 10 wisdom goddesses as a group could therefore be traced to the beginning of the Common Era, and the roots may be even older than that, being the written Puranas after the Christ era. I think I said the opposite. You know, we could date back to 2,000 years ago minimum, even longer. The Mahavidyas are an especially popular focus of worship in Bengal. I would say also Tamil Nadu. I heard of this being worshipped in different temples in Tamil Nadu too. There are few temples dedicated to them as a group, but they appear singly and also in places of honor in temples dedicated to other deities. For example, in the Shankatamorchan Hanuman temple in Varanasi, where they are placed around the ceiling of the front of the porch in front of the main deity. They exist independently of each other, but they are often grouped together. They certainly appear together in the Devi Mahatmya and feature prominently in tantric and puranic texts, such as the Mahanirvana Tantra, in which a hymn to Tara observes with reverence the awesome power of even thinking about the goddess. And here we have a quote from Woodruff. Wrathful Dakini, great birds, tigers, and other dreadful creatures, forthwith take flight at but the remembrance of thy name, and are powerful and are powerless to do aught of evil. In the third Patala of the Yoni Tantra, a slightly different listing that includes most of the Mahavidyas locates each goddess as a part of the Yoni, with Kali and Tara in the Yoni Chakra. It's also called, Yoni Chakra is also called the wheel or outer lips. Chinnamasta in the pubic hair. Baglamukhi and Matangi on the rim of the Yoni. And Bhuvaneshwari and Shodashi inside the vagina. So you see there's a reference to the physical body of a woman here. That's really interesting. And sorry for interrupting the reading of the text. I'm not able to read it without telling what I think about it, what I like to explain. I hope you could get a sense of this. More usually, the Mahavidyas are seen to be powerful agents of the great goddesses, fighting demons and destroying the enemies of ignorance and egoism. Wherever these tantric goddesses appear, they are powerful, often frightening and usually very violent. As a group entity or as individuals, the Mahavidyas are always implicitly linked to siddhis, magical, meditative or yogic powers. That's Uma's translation for siddhis, coming from Kinsley, 1998. So siddhis are here translated as magical, meditative or yogic powers. They wield astounding magical powers, which are often destructive. For example, depending upon which origin story you choose, the goddesses are manifestations of the power of Sati, Shiva's first wife. In the Mahabhagavata Purana, or are manifestations of the power of Parvati, Shiva's second wife, or Durga, the ultimate warrior goddess who slays the buffalo demon Mahisha in the Durga Mahatmya. In the first two stories, they are the forces of resistance manifested by an offended wife and daughter. The awesome powers of the Mahavidyas manifested by Sati, Parvati, and Durga embodied with full force the siddhis of the great goddesses, who call them into being to help them defeat their enemies and to frighten their husbands into letting them follow their instincts. In these contexts, the Mahavidyas are embodiment of female fury precipitated by male neglect and abuse. Again, a quote from Kinsley, 1998. They show their full force because the goddesses have been neglected and disrespected. They are destructive because the Mahavidyas need to re-establish respect for the goddesses who manifest them. The powers of the Mahavidyas thus offer us direct parallels to the current state of awareness of the female siddhis. These uniquely female forces of spiritual growth have been neglected and abused. And so, like the great wisdom goddesses, they now demonstrate their inner, innate, transformatory power on a truly grand scale. The great initiatory and wisdom-bestowing powers of these female experiences have been so systematically disrespected, disregarded, oppressed, and suppressed by the attitudes and values of the patriarchal possessing entity, which has been our consensus reality for the past 5,000 years, that they are now manifesting with immense destructive capacity as a global epidemic of health, of women's health problem. Lara Owen puts this beautifully in her study of menstruation called Her Blood is Gold, where she likens menstrual energy to pure power. And here goes Lara Owen's quote. Power is strong energy. And whenever strong energy is not focused and utilized, it will act unpredictably. Energy is information. It will always surface somewhere. And if it is not allowed out through the life force, the creative drive, then it will surface in the body as symptoms or in our emotional lives as relationship problems. Very interesting, Lara Owen. At the individual level, each woman embodies the ancestral and karmic effects of the suppression and neglect of women's cyclical wisdom and naturally arising potential for realizing the siddhis that are her birthright as a female. Remember, siddhis here are translated as magical yogic powers, magical meditative or yogic powers. So here we are speaking about the female siddhis as birthright for women. Many of the experiences of menstrual, perinatal, postnatal, and menopausal sufferings can be directly relieved by open acknowledgement of their status as potential siddhis. Many more manifestations of women's deep health challenges, for example, osteoporosis, fibroids, or breast and uterine cancers, can be understood as the effects of these ancestral and karmic suppressions and disrespect manifesting as a desperate embodied call for the healing balms of full attention and respect. At a global level, the cities of the planet Earth disrupted cycles, in the form of her capacity to create tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, tsunamis, earthquakes, are manifesting with great destructive force as responses to the continued abuse of the natural rhythm, cycles, and resources of her delicate ecosystems. The relationship between the individual woman's body and the planet we inhabit is intimate. The world is our womb. And here she says also that chapter 27 of this book explores this relationship in detail. We may want to dive into that thing later on. The forces of the female cities, as modeled by the often terrifying and always powerful forms of the 10 great wisdom goddesses, have the capacity to defend and empower the women who honor them, just as the Mahavidyas are able to protect the great goddesses from disrespect by revealing the astounding power of female wisdom and instinct. I have appointed a Mahavidya as a symbolic guardian for each of the female life cycle stages presented in this part of the book, invoking her protective and empowering presence as a source of inspiration and understanding of the cities associated with each part of our lives as women. And here I make a comment. So this is a very interesting interpretation of Uma's. She associates each of the 10 Mahavidya to a specific phase of the life cycle of a woman and within also her menstrual cycle. So by learning what the Dasha Mahavidyas are and which powers they have, you could actually understand which powers you experience throughout the whole of your life, according to this analysis, this interpretation of menstruality, pregnancy, perinatal phase, and menopause as rites of passage, and so on. Going on with the reading. The Mahavidyas are often divided into two camps, the fierce and the relatively benign. Kind of good. But they can be grouped in different ways, in very many different ways, including as representatives of the different phases of the moon, or as grouped manifestations of the three gunas, or quality life, sattva, rajas, and tamas. In the order they are usually presented, they can be seen as tantric symbols of progressive spiritual development, with each goddess conferring a certain type of siddhi, a perfection, blessing, or awareness, with Kali as the most completely unfettered knowledge of self and of ultimate reality, and the other goddesses demonstrating various stages of spiritual enlightenment unfolding in descending order through the usual sequence of Tara, Tripura Sundari or Shodashi, Bhuvaneshwari, Bhairavi, Chinnamasta, Dhumavati, Baglamukhi, Matangi, Kamalatmika. This sequence I've just read is the most usual presentation of the 10 goddesses, and the unfolding order they present can be seen to reveal a variety of interrelationships within the group. For example, David Kinsley, 1998, identifies 13 different perspectives of the nature of the relationships between the Mahavidyas, including seeing them as sisters, as form of the great goddess, and as stages of creation and destruction. Kinsley considers the stages of a woman's life explanation of their interrelationship to be unsatisfactory as the key to understanding the interrelationships of the group, because he understands there be little or no emphasis of the, on the motherhood of the Mahavidyas. They are not shown with infants or children, and their independence from male consorts is stressed. The married and motherly aspects of the female life cycle are minimized in the mythology of the Mahavidyas, again according to Kinsley, 1998. His conclusions seem perfectly logical, but only if one views the stages of a woman's life from outside, from a male perspective that interprets motherhood primarily in terms of a mother's visible relationship with her children and partner. As a mother and as a yogini with a close relationship to those aspects of consciousness manifested through the Mahavidyas, it is perfectly possible to view the experiences of motherhood as an expression of those transformations that occur to the consciousness of a woman. From this perspective, for example, although Chinnamasta may not be outwardly depicted as suckling infants or caring for children, the graphic image of her as the self-decapitated goddess can speak directly to the profound shifts of in consciousness that occur during the postnatal period. And Whistle Kingsley is right to observe that the married and mothering aspect of women's life stages are minimized in terms of the outward depictions of the Mahavidyas as female figures with no consorts and family around them. This does not mean that as a group they cannot effectively resonate with the whole of a woman's life. In the first place, marriage and motherhood is not part of every woman's experience. And in second place, even if it is part of our experience, then, from the perspective of our inner world, those cities associated with the experiences of motherhood are in fact profound spiritual experiences or inner transformations that do not need to be represented by the presence of suckling babies or protective partners. Often, the intense emotional and physical states of these experiences are more effectively represented by the symbolic empowerments of the Mahavidyas, their capacity to destroy, or to awaken us to astonishment and delight. So, for the purposes of expanding our awareness of Yoni Shakti, the most helpful way of considering the Mahavidyas as a group is to regard them each as aspects of consciousness that relate to certain stages of women's lives. Instead of presenting them as a hierarchy in the traditional order or sequence, I have chosen here to regard each goddess as giving access to the bhava, or feeling associated with the different aspects of consciousness that match the chronologically unfolding cycles of women's lives. This is certainly not a very orthodox or scholarly reading of the symbolic functions of the Mahavidyas, but then most of the scholarly appraisals of the Mahavidyas have been so far written by men, Frawley and Kinsley, for example. So, in breaking up the usual sequence and liking each Mahavidyas to those aspects of consciousness that evolved through different female life experiences, I can be seen to have played rather freely with these goddesses. I feel, however, that my deliberate disruption of their usual order of appearance is in the service of guidance and assistance for many women. And I trust that the liberties I have taken with these powerful tantric goddesses will be forgiven. In the chapters that follow, in this part of the book, the symbols and descriptions of each goddess's particular siddhi, or power, are presented in detailed relation to the life cycle over which they preside. As an introductory guide, the wheel beneath sets out the fundamental qualities associated with each goddess in the constellation. Just as the female siddhis themselves can be seen to be a serpentine flow that contains circles overlapping within circles around the central point. So I placed the black goddess Kali at the central point of the whole series of interconnecting life cycles. Like the sun, the presence is central to the constellation of all the other goddesses who circle around her, held in the orbits by her powerful force. So with Sol, she remains as the central principles and guiding force of the whole life cycle. The power of her influence creates a protective circular boundary to the whole dance of all the life cycles, containing within her presence the whole of all the changes and shifts represented and guarded by each of the other goddesses. And I'm stopping to read here. Go on in next episodes. This was just an introduction, or just to give you an idea on the debate that Uma's put into practice in her own beautiful book, considering these amazing goddesses, these 10 Buddhist goddesses, and stepping further from the traditional and beautiful interpretation and adapting these interpretation to the woman cycle. Thank you so much for listening to my reading, which was quite wobbly sometimes. Sorry for that. I'll try and be better next time. So see you next time. Not see you, but listen to me next time in the in-depth analyses of Mahavidya's Siddhis. We'll go through the whole of them. Kali, Tara, Shodashi, Kamalamitka, Kamalatmika, Matangi, Bhuvaneshwari, Chinnamasta, Bagalamukhi, Bhairavi, and Dhumavati. Have a beautiful week. Thank you again from Nadia.
Places, Liz Taylor is not.
not be the star, and even Liberace's smile. Something he can't see is something he can't see. I wonder what's wrong with baby. My baby just cares for.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.